hey, this is Matt, and I'm really feeling a hot dog right now, so I'm going to go up to North Center and eat a hot dog and listen to Outside the Loop Radio, Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine.
Welcome to Outside the Loop. Yes, this is Chicago's almost above ground audio magazine. I am Mike Steven. It's great to be here with you today for show number 897. And what we do here on this program is take a look at local issues and topics that don't always get mainstream media attention. Bob Ferguson is our engineer today, as usual, in the WGN Radio studio. So good morning to Bob. And again, it's great to be here. I hear the sleigh bells, so it must be that special weekend, the weekend before Christmas. Here we are. Are you done with your holiday shopping yet? If not, you have a little time to get your act together. Maybe you need to head over to the grocery store to pick up some ingredients for the holiday dinner you're cooking this weekend. I have a confession. Well, I'm not sure this is actually a confession, but here goes. I like grocery shopping. I do a lot of the cooking in our house, and to be able to pick up what's necessary to make a meal is kind of exciting. Is that weird? Maybe. Anyway, even though I enjoy the grocery store, I do not like to wait in long lines to check out of the grocery store. It's just the worst. I know I could go to the self-checkout lines, but have you seen those recently? They're longer than the regular checkout lines in some cases. But you know who's the MVP of the grocery store? The person bagging your groceries. Here's what I find. If you go to a checkout line where there is an actual human being working the register and another human being bagging groceries, things usually go pretty quickly. Here's my play. I load up as many groceries as possible on the conveyor belt. When the clerk starts scanning the items, I continue to load the conveyor belt with the rest of my groceries, all the while the person bagging the groceries loads my cart. We're a three-person team, an efficient triumvirate, and it's a thing of beauty. Where things go south, though, is when I have to bag my own groceries because our bagging person, remember one of the elements of our fantastic triumvirate, is missing. I don't mind doing the work of bagging, it's just that I'm not good at it, especially at a fast pace. If I'm bagging groceries, I'm throwing in fruit with bottles of orange juice and cartons of milk, and then the fruit gets crushed. I use so many of my grocery bags, it's totally inefficient. That box of waffles needs its own bag to itself, right? Right. I know there's a labor shortage, and maybe self-checkout helps stores deal with that, but this holiday season, let's give some love to grocery baggers. They keep the store a well-oiled machine. We need them. And later today, I'm probably going to see them when I'm at the grocery store. Hopefully. On the show today, we learn about a very talented local soul band from the 1970s, chat about some new music from an incredible Chicago Latin group, and hear from area high school students about their experience at the recent Climate Summit in Dubai. Happy holidays. Hey, Santa, put a little something extra in the stockings of those grocery baggers, will ya? Well, here we are in the holiday season, and in Chicagoland, we're not going to have a white Christmas because... yeah, it'll be too warm for snowfall. The world is experiencing this kind of thing as well. Climate change is a serious threat to our planet's future, and we can fight climate change. In fact, there are people who are working to do just that. Recently, the COP28 summit took place in Dubai. That stands for the Conference of the Parties of the United Nations Framework Convention on Climate Change. This gathered world leaders and others concerned about climate change in order to strategize together. Two area high schoolers were there Katie Stabb and Kate Wallace are seniors at Oak Park and River Forest High School, and they attended the COP28 summit in Dubai. They are here with me today. Katie and Kate, welcome. Thanks for coming by. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You bet. So how does a high school student get to go to Dubai to this incredible conference? Briefly, just give us the lay of the land. How were you able to go?
Well, we both are part of an organization called It's Our Future, which is a youth advocacy group. It's the youth section of Seven Generations Ahead, another local environmental organization. And we've both been pretty involved in our school and community. And upon joining this group, we got the opportunity to go.
That's incredible. And so this issue of climate change, this is something obviously that you're passionate about. But Katie, I'm curious, you as a high school senior, why this issue? Why is this something you're so concerned about?
Well, it's really just something that's going to impact our generation the hardest. For me, it's always been the obvious choice. Why would I not take action on this issue that's going to affect our generation now and into the future for future generations as well?
And Kate, I'm assuming it's the same thing with you?
Definitely. I think it's such a prominent issue that's only going to become more important as time goes on. So I just wanted to start taking action as soon as I could.
So you get to go to this conference in Dubai, which is amazing. Tell us, what did you do there? So you're these two high school seniors, and I know that there were other high schoolers there from this area as well. What did you guys do there?
We had a few badges to be in the blue zone, which is the official zone where the negotiations take place. And then the remaining days we were in the green zone. And in both zones, we watched panels, presentations from everyone from world leaders to activists to psychologists or scientists, just everyone in civil society. We actually hosted a couple of our own panels as well.
Okay, so a lot of panel discussions. And then, and Kate, I think you were meeting people too from all over the world, weren't you?
Yes, I think that was a big part of it. You know, there were, like Katie said, the negotiations, listening to panels. But I think probably my favorite part of it was just meeting people and talking to people from across the world.
And so in terms of, I mean, folks from all over the world, like you say, who are concerned about climate change, there were some heavy hitters that were there, right? I mean, did you meet any of these, you know, world leaders or prominent activists when it comes to climate change?
Yeah, we both met Al Gore.
I've heard of him.
Yes, that was really exciting. And then a lot of smaller scale activists just from all over.
And really, you had that, like, that access. I mean, you could, within reason, I suppose, just kind of rub shoulders with some of these people. But was it almost as easy as that? You could run into them and strike up conversations while you were there?
Yeah, it was like once you're in the conference, you could just walk up to anybody and like talk to them. It was amazing. The one negotiation session that I got to attend afterwards, we decided to try to talk with the co-facilitator of it and see what her take was on the outcome. And at first I was like, oh, she's not going to talk to us, but she was just happy to chat with us. We talked, we had like a mini interview. We stopped the camera and just kept chatting. It was really great to just talk with anyone.
That's amazing that you had that opportunity.
Another person that we got introduced to was the Special Envoy for Youth for the U.S., Abby Finkenauer, and we spent a long time talking to her after a roundtable discussion, and she was really excited to meet youth from the U.S. who are working on this issue. So it really was just you meet people, important people, and you have the opportunity to discuss with them.
That's incredible. So when you're at this event, this climate conference, COP28, okay, it happened earlier this month. So what do we do now? I mean, it's one thing to get everyone together, and that's certainly important so you can have a strategy. But now what do we do? What's the takeaway that you both kind of got from this experience about where we go from here?
I think now it's up to you know, individual countries to follow through on their promises. And then for us, you know, the people that attended, it's up to us to keep pushing all year until the next COP. So I think one big thing that we took away specifically was climate education. That's something we're really focused on, improving climate literacy, just starting here, statewide, countrywide. So it was a really empowering experience to go. And I think moving forward, it'll be about bringing that empowerment and drive back home and pushing the conversation here.
And Katie, what about you?
One of our themes for this, for our trip, was activation. So we go to COP, we come back, we activate those in our school, in our community, to make change. And the text of the conference that came out included language for the first time saying transitioning away from fossil fuels. And that is huge, but we need to make sure that that actually happens. So we need to be putting pressure on our government to make sure that that actually happens in the time frame that we need it to.
And that is huge when we talk about moving away from fossil fuels as an official goal, I suppose, in terms of this position. You know, you said activation, and I'm wondering how that happens, because it's, I think it's easy to say, I recycle. I put things in a blue bin or a special cart, and I'm, you know, I'm doing my thing, and sure, that's great. But when you try to activate a community around climate change and trying to be better so we preserve this environment, what are some things that we can do? How do we activate?
Well, I think one big takeaway for me from the conference was seeing the mix in generations. So, you know, we were there as youth. I think I only met three other high school students besides our group. And then there were some college students. And then most of the conference was adults. So we're seeing adults here that are fighting to, you know, protect the planet for our generation and for the generations to come next. So I think a big part of it is just reminding people that this is our future for the youth, and then this is the future of the people who will come after us. And so it's important that we take action and protect that.
And in terms of moving beyond the personal action of just recycling and whatever, I think a lot of people would like to do that, but don't know how. That's where I was for a long time. And I think we need to connect people with community, whether it's the Enviro Club at OPRF, or it's Our Future, or the Sierra Club, or some local organization, something that shares the values of sustainability, and somewhere where you can put your skills to use.
This is so cool that you had this opportunity, and I think really important, because as you're both saying, I mean, we're thinking long-term here, right? We're thinking about the longevity of this planet, and we don't have a ton of time to turn things around. I think it's just a few years of a window we have here before the damage could be irreparable. I'm wondering, you're seniors, you're going to graduate high school soon. So what are you going to do next? Something climate related?
Absolutely. I was just listening to Kate talking earlier about how she was interested in like renewable energy engineering. And I'm like, that sounds awfully familiar. that's my tentative plan, as well as to go into environmental engineering. But definitely something environmental. I might end up in policy because I'm also interested in that, but we'll see.
Another way to affect change. Kate, what about you?
Yeah, like Katie said, I'm hoping to do mechanical engineering and then work in the energy sector. But, you know, my bit has always been, after high school, I'm going to continue being an advocate and an engineer. So I think it all stems from advocacy.
That's really amazing to hear what you want to do with these experiences that you're so fortunate to have right now. And I'm glad that folks your age are thinking about this, because we're going to need smart, dedicated, passionate people to solve these problems going forward. So I commend both of you for doing what you're doing. Katie Stabb and Kate Wallace, seniors at Oak Park and River Forest High School in Oak Park, and recently attended the COP28 Climate Summit in Dubai. Really impressive. And again, thank you for all of your tremendous work. Keep doing what you're doing, and happy holidays to you both.
Thank you.
You too.
Happy holidays.
Music. Let's talk about it right now, this time from the band Radio Free Honduras. They have a new single out in January and a new album that will also be released in 2024. The website is RadioFreeHonduras.com, and Dan Abu Absi is a guitarist in the band Radio Free Honduras from here in Chicago. Dan, welcome back to Outside the Loop.
Oh, thank you so much for talking to me again.
You bet. So I remember the last time you were here, you were on the show. You were in the studio, the WGN studio. This is back in 2019. You got up pretty early to play live. You remember that?
Mm-hmm. I do remember that. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a good time. You guys sounded great. Of course, that interview and live performance is up at OutsideTheLoopRadio.com and WGNRadio.com. So it's great to hear that you have new music coming out. So again, take us back here. So the band started, I think this was 2011, Radio Free Honduras. This was basically started around the music of someone by the name of Charlie Baran. So remind us, who is Charlie Baran and why start a band around his music?
Well, I initially met Charlie and knew him as a guitar player, a great guitar player. And it took several years of us playing in a different band together for me to figure out that he had a whole other career prior to that as a singer-songwriter in Honduras. And, part of the reason why that took so long to figure out is because of the language barrier between us. Mm-hmm. He speaks mainly Spanish, and I speak English, of course. So that was a challenge, but you know, I have learned over the years of his amazing career in Honduras, which was unfortunately kind of mostly undocumented, as a lot of the arts, especially in the 70s and 80s and even 90s, there were sort of undocumented and maybe even underappreciated. But he managed to carve out a career as a musician, you know, despite having a real lack of opportunity and education. So it was impressive for me to sort of learn not only about his story, but sort of the circumstances that he came from too. Really fascinating. But really the reason why we started the band is because I was just drawn to his music. I loved his songs. As soon as I started hearing his original music, I knew it was great stuff. And when he told me he wasn't really doing anything with it and, you know, wasn't really able to put together a band or didn't know how to do that, I just knew I had to help him at least get that far.
This music has a Latin feel to it. It is Latin music for sure. But when we say Radio Free Honduras, specifically when we talk about the Honduran music tradition, what are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, in this case, I mean, it's a varied tradition, of course. There's a lot of elements to it. But in this case, Charlie and his contemporaries had they basically created a genre of music called punta rock, which takes elements of the punta rhythm, which is of late like Garifuna people that are kind of coastal people in Honduras and Belize mostly. But it's a sort of a Caribbean rhythm, and African rhythm. And so they kind of took that and combined it with, you know, other things that they were listening to on the radio, Latin American music of all kinds, rock and roll, all the other stuff. So that was sort of the thing that they did that was different, punta rock.
It is interesting because when you listen to this music, there is very much that rock feel to it. You know, you can hear that in the guitar and sort of the approach. But again, combining it with this ethnic Latin feel, it's something that's really unique, I think.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I agree. And, you know, part of that is just our approach as, you know, mostly Chicago musicians that are coming together with us to make this happen. You know, we have our stamp on it too, but, you know, obviously it's mostly Charlie, who is our singer, songwriter, and lead guitar player, who is driving all that stylistic stuff. But it does always kind of come out interesting, you know, when you get people with different backgrounds involved. So that's something that we always do as well.
So tell us about the new music that's coming out here. Again, the single will be out on January 5th, and then you'll have a full album coming out in 2024. Tell us about this new music.
Yeah, so actually, some of these songs are old songs that Charlie had recorded up to, you know, almost 50 years ago. Well, 45 or so years ago in Honduras with other bands. And some of them are things that he has written in the last few years. So it's sort of a look at his songbook over the last 40 plus years. Some of the songs are just, like I mentioned, things he has done a long time ago in Honduras, but maybe the recordings had been lost, and they really don't exist anywhere, or, you know, he has a cassette tape of another one that you yeah. can't find anywhere else.
Uh-huh.
And some of them only exist in his mind at this point, as far as we can tell. So part of this project with this album was to bridge the gap sort of for him. There's a few sort of forgotten gems in his past, and then along with some new songs, and they happen to work together well when we put them together, so that's where that came from.
Tiene destrozado el corazón y no te importa si sufro o lloro por tu amor y no te importa. A veces quisiera decirte adiós, pero no puedo.
The music sounds great, and it's exciting to hear that this tradition is continuing. And I believe you don't have any gigs coming up in Chicago in the near future, but I would imagine that if you have a new album coming out in 2024, you're going to eventually book some gigs around here so we could check out Radio Free Honduras.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to be releasing a single a month over the next few months, and then the whole album in the spring. And we're still sort of finalizing details for a release show in Chicago area, but it's definitely going to happen sometime in the spring. And of course, we're going to be doing a lot of booking for summer street festivals and other things like that. So there are going to be a lot of opportunities, hopefully, to see us.
Awesome. Well, that's coming up in 2024. This is exciting. New music from the local band Radio Free Honduras. They are just a tremendous group. They sound wonderful. We should check out RadioFreeHonduras.com. Look for the new music coming out starting in January and then kind of trickling out until the new album is released in the spring of 2024, and then gigs to follow. Dan Abu Absi is a guitarist in the band Radio Free Honduras. Hey, Dan, I really appreciate you talking to us today. Congratulations on all of the wonderful music that you've created, and here's to seeing you in 2024.
Oh, thank you so much, Mike. It's been my pleasure.
Occasionally in the Chicago Reader, you will see the column, The Secret History of Chicago Music. It is hand-drawn by local musician, music historian, and artist Plastic Crime Wave. He's also known as Steve Krakow. This strip profiles a local musician or a band who never quite made it to the big time. So right now, let's dim those lights. Let's fire up the old hi-fi as we travel to Chicago's Ukrainian Village neighborhood and enter
The Secret History of Chicago Music.
Once again, connecting across town to the lair of an apartment of Mr. Steve Krakow, the author of The Secret History of Chicago Music strip in the Chicago Reader. He is also
a local musician and music historian himself. And Steve, this week as we round out 2023, we're going out in a soulful style here as we learn about the story of this band, very talented band from Chicago called The Lost Generation. I mean, this is a nice way to end 2023.
Yeah, totally. And kind of amazing. It kind of just goes to show how much talent. I feel like I've covered so many soul bands here, and here's one that's so good, and I'm just getting to it after all this time, So like, here we go. The Lost Generation.
The Lost Generation. It's funny because in your piece you do say, when people ask you, hey, are you ever going to run out of bands? You're like, hey, dude, I could just do soul and blues artists from Chicago, and I could just do this forever.
Totally. Throw jazz in there forever in a day, power pop bands, garage rock, as you know, I love. It's just endless, I don't know how many cities you could really say that about.
Well, that's a good problem to have, I'll say.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the origin of this soul band, The Lost Generation. So this is a story where we go to the south side of Chicago. Tell us how this all gets started here.
Well, the group really sort of focuses around Laurel Simon, who he was just a super talented guy. And born in 43, grew up in the Stateway Gardens housing project, another, great. I mean, the Earth, Wind & Fire guys and Curtis Mayfield came out of the projects, Shows you the kind of talent, that can come out of adversity. But started singing in church, like a lot of people. And he had this early band, the La Vondels, which became the Vondels, who had something kind of like a early, local hit, around here. That was sort of how he came up, and he just sort of blossomed into, songwriter, singer, sort of this complete artist.
Yeah, and so this is an interesting story here because, like you say, what's the core of the band that will be The Lost Generation starts off, like I said, the south side of Chicago, and they're coming up in a time where this kind of music, this soul music, it's taking off here. And there are so many bands. I mean, to your point, like we were saying earlier, I mean, think of all the bands that play at this time soul music in Chicago. And Chicago is one of these places where it's really happening. And so tell us how this band, The Lost Generation, how they come together and how they're kind of on the upward slope here.
Well, there, he went off to the service, which was pretty typical, obviously in that day as well. Came back, was like, I'm going to start this, a new band. Got his brother Fred Simon in the band. And then this fellow Larry Brownlee, who he also had an old band that had a minor hit too, called the CODs, probably back when soul music was more on a sort of evolving out of doo-wop, and was a much more sort of sweeter sound. And then, by the late 60s, early 70s, started getting sort of a grittier sound and kind of crossing over into the, sort of groovy vibe that was kind of happening across the nation as well. So I think they set out to do a band more like that. And luckily, Laurel, old friend of his, who I think went back to like childhood, this guy, Gus Redman, was working for Brunswick Records. And that was, one of the big labels. And Carl Davis, who we've probably talked about every soul strip I've ever done, he was just at the center of this scene. And he pretty much heard them and loved them like from the get go, and whisked them off to the studio, let them record their own song, and it has become a friggin' classic. The Sly, Slick, and the Wicked. Do him wrong.
and say it's all your fault. Beware, young girl. You got to beware, baby, baby. Beware, young girl. You've got to
watch out, watch out, watch out.
Keep him from the hands of the wicked.
And it's interesting because the hit, the sly, slick, and the wicked, an Ohio, as you say here, an Ohio R&B band named themselves Sly, Slick, and Wicked that same year. So this song got pretty popular.
It was pretty huge. It sold like 500,000 copies. Great strings on it. I mean, produced by Eugene Record of the Chilites. Thomas Tom Tom Washington arranged it, who did a million incredible soul records. And Willie Henderson did the musical direction. Another legendary. It's basically like who's who. So it ended up sounding great as well. It's got beautiful strings on it. It's got this crazy delayed vocal effect on it that kind of gives it that, you know, groovy psychedelic thing I was talking about that could sort of, you know, the new generation, you know, aka the lost generation could jump on with, you know.
That's the hit, and I don't know, stuff doesn't really get too much bigger than that, unfortunately, for the lost generation. That, you know, kind of was the apex of everything. So it's not like they're not putting out music after that, because they are. They're putting out a lot of songs. So what ends up happening? Because by the end of 1974, the lost generation calls it quits.
Yeah, I mean, they did one more record and they tried to sort of cash in, and they did. It's called Young, Tough, and Terrible. and it's kind of funny. They're standing on the cover and they don't necessarily look terrible. You know, they could have terribled it up enough. They just look like cool, groovy guys, you know. But, you know, it's a good record, actually. I almost prefer the second one over the first one, as you know, artistically speaking. It goes into some cool, it almost like a concept record. It starts off with their own little theme song. This is the lost generation, and crazy strings on it. More of that echoes. And then it kind of ends on an instrumental version of that song, which is, you know, very like sort of Sergeant Peppery or something right. like that, you know, would happen at the time. And it's a really cool record, and great covers on it. Again, same production team, so it's like incredible sounding. Like, and I mean, the thing is, these records have a legacy because they've been sampled like a million times. Like, I was looking up, like, well, later on, Laurel did a solo record. Same guys are all over it. The same Lost Generation guys are all over it. That thing has been sampled like crazy. I mean, Massive Attack, DJ Shadow, Common, like pretty much the names you would think of when it comes to sampling, sampled that Laurel solo record. But also Lost Generation stuff has been sampled numerous times. But they all kind of stayed in the music industry, you know.
Yeah, that's really amazing that the music has been sampled as much as it has. And so we've probably heard it in some iteration before.
Exactly. Buried in some, you know, sort of rap or trip hop song. You've heard it, you know.
Yeah. Well, Laurel Simon is going to pass away in 2018 from health complications. And so, as you say, as far as you know, Fred Simon, Laurel's brother, is the only surviving original member of the Lost Generation. And it was hard getting in touch with him.
No, well, you know, I made an attempt. Aaron Cohen talked to him for his excellent Chicago Soul book. So I had a little to fall back on. And yeah, he's the only one. He was working security, head of security at McCormick Place.
Wow.
Basically, if I understand it correctly, like Aaron told me, I ran into him over the weekend and mentioned this was happening. And he's like, oh, yeah. He's like, I went to interview him. He's like, just park in front of McCormick Place. And he's like, wait, he's like, wait, what? Park in front of McCormick Place? Like, what, you know, what is, basically you're going to get towed in about 2 seconds. He's like, no, just tell him you're there to see me. So he rolls up. Of course, someone comes out. Hey, you know, and he's like, I'm here to see Fred. They're like, oh, okay, cool. Yeah, he'll be out to see you in a minute, you know, or whatever. So from what I understand, he ruled that if he wasn't head of security, he was he was a higher up there. He might be retired now. That was the email I had to reach him at, was a McCormick Place email. So, but, you know, their story is fairly well documented. But sadly, the other two members, not a ton on them. And one member was allegedly murdered on the streets. Not that surprising in Chicago, sadly. But you know, back in 1978, Brownlee was supposedly killed. But not a ton on that. And Aaron told me as well, who's, you know, sort of Chicago's sole authority, that there's not a ton of information on that either, which is too bad because these are just all, you know, super talented. And Fred Simon, I should mention, he did go into the Chilites later on as well and tour with them.
Wow, how about that? Well, the story of the Lost Generation is in this week's Secret History of Chicago music strip in the Chicago Reader. So go pick up a free copy of the Reader all over the area and go to chicagoreader.com. Steve Krakow is the author of the Secret History of Chicago Music, local music historian and artist. And Steve, happy new year, happy holidays. We're going out here on a soulful, a soulful angle, which I appreciate. I know you do too. And, you know, we'll do this again in 2024.
Totally. And I'm sure I'll find more great soul bands. It's still in Chicago in 2024. I know it's going to happen. But this is really great music. If you dig Curtis Mayfield, Chilites, Adele, stuff like that, this is just like really right up there. It's pretty rare, you know, to find stuff this well produced and this good quality. So on to the quests of 2024, the soulful quests of 2024.
That just about does it. Outside the Loop show number 897 is done. How about that? Thank you so much for listening to the show this week. You are just fantastic, as is Bob Ferguson, who is our engineer in the WGN radio studio. Have a happy holiday. Merry Christmas. Whatever it is that you celebrate, make it a great one. And we'll come on back next week for one more show in 2023. What? That went by quickly. I'll talk to you again next time right here on Outside the Loop.